The question and answer program everyone enjoys.
I would say yes.
That's right.
That's right.
Here are the questions.
The history quiz is upon us, and Hannah in Sydney, hi to you. She says, hi, Bern, I'm here and I'm ready to play the nightmare quiz. Also, I'm challenging Adrian from Bella Vista to be the first to get to five questions right. Okay, Hannah, I haven't got any prizes for you and Adrian, but you guys have got your own competition going on. So good luck to you. On the text line and on the phone line, more to the point, is Anne at Caulfield in Melbourne. Long time no talk, Anne. Hello.
Hi, how are you going?
I'm well. Okay, this is all about discoveries tonight. And we're dedicating this theme because of our Galileo discovery of earlier, which I possibly, well, if you've been listening, you know this anyway. But that will be, there may or may not be a question about that later. First question for you, Anne. The Rosetta Stone was discovered by soldiers in whose army?
I think it was Napoleon.
Yes, Napoleon Bonaparte. Yes. During that campaign in Egypt from 1798 to 1801, they discovered the ancient Egyptian stone, the Rosetta Stone, with the inscriptions in it. Well done, Napoleon Bonaparte, our first question, and a tick for you, Anne.
It's fascinating looking at it. We were there a few years ago. It was at the British Museum, and it's really fascinating just to see it and to know the history behind it.
Yeah, fantastic to go to these museums, especially one like that. I love the fact that you've seen it for yourself, Anne, hence why you probably knew the answer so quickly. All right, Chinese Emperor Shen Nung discovered what when sitting beneath a tree? Chinese Emperor Shen Nung discovered what when sitting beneath a tree? As a history quiz, legends are interesting, but according to legend,
I'm wondering if a leaf fell down and he thought that he discovered paper as a result.
He discovered paper, you think?
Yes. not very sure. But
well, you're halfway there, but it wasn't a paper discovery, Anne, but you may have given a clue to our next caller. So thank you for playing. Nice to hear from you tonight. 1-300-800-222 is the number. And George from Fremantle is not listening to the cricket. He's tuned in to Nightlife instead. Hi, George.
Hi, how are you going?
Very well. Chinese Emperor Shen Nung, according to legend, discovered what when sitting beneath a tree?
Did discover gravity like Newton, did he?
I don't know. Is that what you're saying?
I can't think. I haven't got the wherewithal to work it out.
No.
Discovered gravity.
Not gravity, but thanks for playing tonight, George. On the text line, Rachel and Kilmore thought it might be gravity as well. Hannah, by the way, Adrian at Bella Vista says, challenge accepted. So there we go. You don't think it's a nightmare quiz. I love this. She says, Hannah in Sydney says, oops, that was autocorrect. I meant nightlife quiz, not nightmare quiz. See, Hannah, I actually think the history quiz is a bit of a nightmare because it's just all over the shop. You've got to know so much to do well in it. Okay, let's move because otherwise we'll take forever with this. I'm going to Gordon, who's in Ballina. Hi, Gordon.
Oh, hello, Bern.
Now, Anne did give you a bit of a clue when she said that a leaf fell down, but she said the discovery was paper. Chinese Emperor Shen Nung discovered what when sitting beneath a tree? Now, this is according to legend.
The only thing I know about discoveries in China is Marco Polo discovered spaghetti in China.
That's not gonna help us, I don't think, because I don't think it's noodles that this chap discovers under the tree. Should I move on, Gordon? You can't take a guess?
No.
Okay, all right. The clue is leaves and leaf. That's your clue. 1-300-800-222. And who what have we got? Someone's got it on the text line, but you haven't told me your name. You've got to tell me who you are, where you are. Harry in the Bay, no, that's not it. Neither is it for you, Elizabeth. Jane in Hobart, no, you haven't got it. Maybe David at Mount Cola can tell us. Hi, David.
Yeah, hello, Ben.
Chinese Emperor Shen Nung discovered what when sitting beneath a tree?
Okay, so it's got something to do with leaves.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe tea leaves, because tea supposedly invented in China. So, look, I'll just say tea.
Well done. Tea it is. According to legend, in 2737 BC, the Chinese Emperor Shen Nung was sitting beneath a tree while his servant boiled drinking water, and some leaves from the tree blew into the water, and supposedly that's when tea was discovered. Now, as I said, it is according to legend, so, you know, don't go quoting me on it, David, but there we go. This is all about discoveries tonight, so good luck with it. Others thought it might have been silk, by the way, and enlightenment was another very popular answer on the text line tonight. David, question three, a melted chocolate bar in American engineer Percy Spencer's pocket led to the development of what? A melted chocolate bar in American engineer Percy Spencer's pocket led to the development of what?
Yeah, I think he walked past something that had microwaves, and so I think it was the microwave.
It was, as in the oven, yeah, the microwave oven. Good, you're good at this. I'm liking how much you know. It was while he was employed at a weapons manufacturer in 1945, he noticed that microwaves from an active radar set that he was working on started to melt the chocolate bar, candy bar, as he called it, in his pocket. And the first food that he deliberately cooked was popcorn, and the second was an egg, which exploded in the face of one of the experimenters, apparently. All right, question four. HMS Discovery was the smallest ship in whose fleet?
Oh, okay. HMS Discovery. I wanted to say Captain Cook, but he only really had one ship, didn't he? I'll go with him. I'll go with Cook.
I'm glad you have gone with Cook, and I know what you're saying, because you think, well, you only think of the Endeavour with Cook, but knowing that the person who wrote this quiz just finished a book about Cook, I'm not going to question it. I'm going to say that he knows what he's talking about, hence why James Cook has turned up in this particular history quiz. And discoveries are the topic of conversation. We've got David at Mount Cola who is playing along, and other lines are free just in case David doesn't make it all the way. You'd be getting a black magnet if you made it all the way at this stage. 1-300-800-222. In 1922, Howard Carter, a British archaeologist, discovered what, David?
I think that was the tomb of Tutankhamun.
Oh, David, you're on fire tonight. Look at you go. All right, question six. What was discovered by farmers in a province in China in 1974?
All I think of there is the Terracotta Army, the Terracotta Warriors.
Yeah, the Terracotta Army. Discovered on the 29th of March, 1974, a farmer had uncovered some fragments of pottery because they were digging a well at the time. And then the pottery led to the discovery of the first warrior and then, of course, the famous Terracotta Army. So what a find. Imagine, you know, discovering one thing and then the next and then the next. It's amazing. Just catching up on who's saying what on the text line. Harry in the Bay was saying the first fleet. Anne got it right with Captain Cook. Anne also had Tutankhamun. So did Frank at Mount Evelyn. And Adrian at Bella Vista had Tutankhamun as well. Hannah, how are you doing? I need to go and check on how Hannah's doing in all of this. Haven't seen too many of your texts yet, Hannah. And lots of people had the microwave oven as well. Hello to you, Anne and Lorella, on the text lines too. 1-300-800-222 to play on the phone line. The only way to get the prize at the end of all of this, but on the text line you can have fun of a different kind, 0467-922-702. All right, we're up to question 7. And if you can't answer this one, David, then it means you haven't been listening to Nightlife Tonight. Have you been listening to Nightlife Tonight?
No, I haven't. I have to admit, I've only listened for the last half hour.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to get it anyway, but we did spend, we had a fantastic conversation about this last hour. Who discovered or first observed Jupiter's four largest moons in 1610?
I think you did mention Galileo, didn't you, at some stage? So I'll just go with Galileo.
No, I shouldn't have given. That came out of my mouth and I realised, oh, no, I've got a question about this. I've given it away. But if you'd been listening to Nightlife, you would have had that answer anyway, because we talked about Galileo for more than half an hour and it was absolutely fascinating. I had a physicist and a professor of physics from the University of Melbourne joining us. He was so passionate. It was fantastic. Listen back if you get half a chance, David.
Yeah, I might listen to the podcast. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, he was really good. Look, Bill at Benalla and Deborah at Old Bar and Danny at Greenslopes, they're all hoping that you can finally stop answering these questions correctly. Where did we start? I'm going to have to keep an eye on this because you can get a black magnet, can't you, if you get to 10? Is that
I think it was the tea leaves. The tea leaves.
Okay, so we've had, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're up to 7. Okay. Well, we're up to question 8, but we're up to 7 in a row for you. A kite and a key were used in a 1752 experiment to discover that lightning is a form of electricity. Who performed the experiment?
Was that Benjamin Franklin?
Yes, it was Benjamin Franklin. Ooh, I feel like we're on a real roll here. This is exciting. All right.
I know.
I shouldn't say that because you'll end up, falling over and it'll be my fault for saying it out loud. Thomas Edison might have made the first commercially viable light bulb, but who actually patented the light bulb? David?
This probably is where I'm going to crash out. Look, I'm just going to say, Thomas, I'm just going to say Tesla.
I was barracking for you. I wanted you to get that black magnet tonight because it would be exciting to give one away on my first weekend babysitting the show. But this is where we say goodbye, David, and I feel like it was my fault for getting too excited. But well done. You have done a fantastic job tonight on the history quiz. Thanks for playing.
Thanks, Ben. Have a good night.
You too, David, at Mount Cola. Oh, he got you so far into this quiz. Wonderful stuff. Now, let's turn to, I mentioned Deborah at Old Bar, who's waiting patiently. Hello, Deborah.
Yeah, hello.
Hello. David did very well, didn't he?
Oh, my word.
Let's see if you can get yourself a black magnet. You've got to start with this next question. We're up to question 9. Thomas Edison might have made the first commercially viable light bulb, but who actually patented the light bulb?
Oh. No. I think it's past me. I would have said Thomas Edison.
Okay. It's not Thomas Edison. We might get stuck on this one. We'll have to see how we go. 1-300-800-222. I can't see the right answer yet on the text line, which means Harry in the Bay, Jim in Campbelltown, Babs in Ringwood, Maria, none of you have got it right. Not yet, anyway. Let's see if Bill at Benalla can get it tonight. Hi, Bill.
Good. Whatever. Evening.
Yes, evening. How are you? You've said good, but I forgot to ask the question.
Well, yeah.
Who patented the light bulb?
Well, they made a movie about that, didn't they? Or was it generally about Tesla and Edison?
I don't know. It's Not one I'm familiar with, at least not that I can think of.
But there's some vague gentleman, maybe. I don't know, Mr. Kodak or Mr. Bulb.
Mr. Kodak or Mr. Bulb. I like it. I do like the idea of it being Mr. Bulb, but no, Bill Epinella, it is not Mr. Bulb. Thank you for playing, though. 1-300-800-222. If you're falling off the line now, because it's a tough one, I think. People would have said, I think, Thomas Edison, but no. Hello, Danny at Greenslopes.
Good evening.
Hello.
How are you, sweetheart?
Well, how are you?
Excellent.
Thomas Edison had the first commercially viable light bulb, but who actually patented it?
I was originally thinking Tesla. Wasn't the guy who patented the refrigerator, Birdseye? Just give me a couple of seconds. First light bulb. That's tricky, Bones. Very tricky. So more trickier than playing bloody guitar.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I'm not very good at either trivia or guitars. Are you going to go with Birdseye?
Hey, I'll just give me another half second.
Well, I don't think I can do that, Danny, because that unfortunately, and this is always very awkward for me, but giving you another half a second while you sound distracted is one of those classic signs that sounds like somebody's Googling something. And sometimes I just have to err on the side of caution. So I am not saying that you're Googling. However, I'm also not accepting whatever answer you were planning to give me. It's always a tough moment in the quiz. I don't like it, Anne at Randwick. I don't like doing it. It always feels mean, but it just had that vibe about it. Give me a moment. Give me a second. Hello, Anne. Anne, are you there? Anne at Randwick, is that you? No, I don't think that is Anne at Randwick, which is okay. Ooh, this is the gremlins in the system saying, Bern, you might have been wrong about Danny, and now you're going to pay for it. Bill at Victor Harbour, hello.
I think you were right.
Well, it's, you know, I believe that Danny is a good person, so why would anybody bother to Google when they're up for a quiz on a radio show? I don't know, but
I think temptation gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. And you just get that one question that you go, I'm usually pretty good at this, and so therefore I'm just going to Google it. I'm trusting you haven't done that, Bill, while you've been waiting.
I haven't done it because I haven't hung up because I think I know who it is.
Okay.
Humphrey Davis.
No. Who's Humphrey Davis?
Humphrey Davis, he's a scientist.
Oh, I'm going to have to look him up.
Not the man.
No, not the man. Not the man I'm looking for anyway, Bill, which means you're not the man I'm looking for either. Funnily enough, Harry in the Bay just said Humphrey Davis as well. Alan on the text line says, well done, Bern. Google alert, Google alert. Dean, you've got it on the text line. And Frank at Mount Evelyn, you've got it as well. So it is the people do know this. Let me see if we can get the answer on the telephone line. 1-300-800-222. Give me a call right now to play the history quiz.
As each day begins,
get the facts you need to stay informed.
Every day, across your day,
stay with Australia's trusted news source.
Stay in the know with ABC News.
Go to news.abc.net.au or download the ABC News app.
This is Nightlife with Bern Young on ABC Radio.
The number to call me on is 1-300-800-222 and the text line is 0467-922-702 and Peter at Pakenham. I got it right this time.
You did, Bern. Well done. I hope I'm the man you're looking for.
I hope you're the man I'm looking for as well, now that I've got the right pronunciation of where you live second time round.
You've done well.
Well, I'm always learning on Nightlife. That's the truth of the matter. Now, Thomas Edison, we're all learning, in fact. Thomas Edison might have made the first commercially viable light bulb, but who actually patented the light bulb?
Well, I'm not 100% sure. I know there was a British guy a little bit before him that sort of worked on the light bulb, a guy by the name of Joseph Swan, but I don't know whether it's him or not.
Well, I'm going to say yes. Peter, you are my man tonight because it is Joseph Swan out of Britain. In fact, yeah, he was a physicist, a chemist, and an inventor. And I think he actually patented it the same year as Edison. So, but Swan did it first, I think, or before Edison does what he does with it. So 1880 being that year. So well done to you. Good work, Peter. All right. And by the way, Humphrey Davy made a light bulb, I'm now being told, by my brain's trust, the wonderful Mick Radojkovic, who you'll meet in about an hour's time when he talks music. He made a light bulb, but he didn't patent it. So the lesson there is always patent your inventions. All right, Peter at Pakenham, let's get this going. Question 10, what was the name of the telescope that helped add evidence to the Big Bang Theory? What's the name of the telescope?
I know of the Hubble, and I know of the, is it Discovery? Let's go with Hubble.
Yeah, good choice. Good solid choice. The Hubble Space Telescope. I mean, if you want to get the job done, go to the Hubble, I say. it was one of the telescope's primary science goals. So, you know, if it's built for the task, let it be. So, all right, question 11 we're up to. We're just over halfway and we're just on half past the hour too, unless you're listening in South Australia or Northern Territory and you're at the top of the hour. So different hours for different people. Question 11, what children's toy, Peter, what children's toy was first manufactured as a wallpaper cleaner in the 1930s. Oh, and by the way, I think maybe, is your radio on, Peter? I think I can start to hear myself.
I've got the TV on. I've got the radio on the TV.
Turn it down because it ends up being a little bit delayed.
Sorry, I'll turn the TV off.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, I'll give you a moment to just find the remote.
Done.
Turn the telly off. Channel 26 is a good way to listen to the radio, though.
Yeah, I've been flicking between 25 and 26, the last 3 hours because you've had some great shows on there.
Yeah, just out of interest, do they put a is there a picture of me on the television when this show goes to air? Because
no.
Okay,
no,
well that's
all I hear is just the voices.
Okay, that's good. I was wondering what happens on Channel 26. Although, can I just say that if for some reason you're on the app and my picture does come up, that picture, this is hilarious. I'll share this with you, Peter. Is 15 years old, the picture that they're using. I love it. I love the fact they're using a photo that's 15 years old. I look so young in it.
That's awesome. I've got a great head for radio, so this is good for me.
Yeah, well, this is why I choose radio over TV. Anyway, what children's toy was first manufactured as a wallpaper cleaner in the 1930s?
This is a tough one. Wallpaper cleaner.
Louise got it straight away on the text line. Nice work, Louise.
A children's toy.
Oh, Susan and Hobart's got it too.
The plasticine thing. What do you call it? Play-Doh.
Play-Doh. Yeah, it was Play-Doh. Yeah. How interesting that was meant to be a wallpaper cleaner. I don't know if it does work on wallpaper. Not many people have wallpaper
these
days.
Something that actually sticks to a wall and you sort of rub it up and down so it brings off the dirt.
I find that Blu Tack works pretty well that way, funnily enough, for cleaning things off. So maybe there's something in Blu Tack that's in Play-Doh too. All right, question 12, Peter at Pakenham. The lines have a few more callers on them. Trev at Surface Paradise is hoping he gets his chance after you, Peter. Let's see if he does. A failed experiment by William Henry Perkin led him to create the first synthetic dye. What was the colour of the dye?
I've got no idea. No idea, but I'm going to take a stab.
Yeah.
Colour of the dye, let's go with blue.
Blue. No, not blue. We say farewell, but good on you, Peter. Nice to have you on the history quiz tonight.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ben. All the best and happy New Year. Hope it's a great one.
Yeah, same to you, Peter. Thank you. Yeah, someone else is saying they use blue tack to clean walls as well. You've got to make sure your blue tack's clean. That's one part of the puzzle. Trev in Surfers Paradise, hello.
Hello, Ben.
How are you?
I haven't seen your photo, but I'm looking forward to having a look.
Go and have a look at it. I've got. I'm not even wearing glasses
I'd like
yet.
To know what they look like.
I'm not in the picture they're using on the ABC at the moment. I'm not even wearing glasses, and so that's how old it is. Because I do wear glasses now. That's for sure. I'm absolutely lost without them. And yes, my
and
hair.
You know, I'm sure you wear them well.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Trev. All right. A failed experiment by William Henry Perkin led him to create the first synthetic dye. What was the colour? It was not blue.
A synthetic dye, and there's lots of dyes that are made from natural things. What are the paints I have trouble getting a right hue on is yellow, and that's my guess.
Yellow is not going to help you tonight, Trev, at Surfers Paradise. Thanks for calling in, though.
Thank you, Bern. Enjoy everything and enjoy this year as much as I hope you enjoyed the last.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to 2026. I reckon it's going to be a good one. Raish in Brizzo, thank you for this. Channel 25, not Channel 26 on the telly, gets you ABC local radio, Channel 25. You can tell I don't use it very often. I'm more of an ABC Listen app person myself. Julie at Laylaw, hello.
Hello, good evening.
Hello. Okay, not yellow, not morning. Not yellow, not blue. Mm-hmm. But William Henry Perkin did accidentally create the first synthetic dye. What was the colour?
Was it fluoro orange?
Fluoro orange. I like the idea of it being fluoro orange, but no. Julie and Laylaw, it was not. We say farewell and we head to Charlie, who's at Caboolture in Queensland. Hi, Charlie.
Oh, hello, Bern. How are you?
I'm very well. I'd love you to know the colour of this. Yeah. I feel like we're just on a guessing game of colours. Yeah. Are we going to go through the entire rainbow, I wonder?
I hope not. Who painted the light bulb?
Joseph Swan patented the light bulb. Yeah. Joseph Swan, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Listen, the colour I'm going to say is black.
No, not black. Oh. No.
thank you, Ben.
I can't even tell you the name he gave the dye because then it would give away the colour. But he was looking for a synthetic substitute for quinine. So I don't know if that's of any help to anybody. I don't know enough about that to know if that gives away a colour or not. 1-300-800-222 and the phone lines are looking a little lonely at the moment because nobody knows this colour. Loz at Lynham, hi.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, good. I don't know if the quinine clue is any help at all, but it's not black, it's not fluoro orange, nor orange to be honest, nor yellow, nor blue. So got another colour for me?
I've got no idea if this is relevant, but I know the Romans and stuff, they used to really prize purple dye. And so if someone made a synthetic version of that, it might be, so I don't know, I'll go purple.
I like your lateral thinking tonight, Loz. And yeah, it was. It was purple. Yeah, yeah. He called the dye Mauvine or Mauvine, perhaps. And yeah, he was mixing something with something, with a few chemical compounds, and he was trying to find this alternative, a synthetic substitute for quinine. It was a failure, but he obtained this dark purple precipitate, you know, soluble in water and alcohol, and by dipping a piece of silk into it, he discovered that it had these dyeing properties, and the first synthetic dye, Mauvine or Mauvine, was found, and it was purple. So there you go. All right, question 13 we're up to in the history quiz. Which British bacteriologist went on vacation and then on his return accidentally discovered penicillin? Another accidental discovery.
I always get the two confused. There's an Australian bloke who did more with it later. Is Howard Florey the Australian? There's two names, Howard Florey and...
This is where you've got to give me the answer as opposed to me giving you the answer. So what do you reckon?
I think I'm wrong. It's Alex. I think the guy's name's Alexander something, but I don't know his surname, so I've got to go Howard Florey.
Howard Florey. When you hear the answer, you'll be giving yourself a quiet kick, Loz, in Lynham. But let's see if someone else can answer it. Thanks for playing tonight on the History Quiz. 1-300-800-222. Just side story before we move on to our next caller. This from Carol. Funny story. My dad's won Tats in 1965. So that's like Tats Lotto, isn't it, Carol? So we won the Lotto in 1965, bought a house, got to choose three walls for wallpaper, and it came with three tubs of Play-Doh. House building was A.V. Jennings. Too funny. Is that because the Play-Doh was meant to be for the wallpaper cleaning, Carol, or was it just a gimmick that they were giving it for families? I'm unsure. All right, let's go to Michael, who's in Coolangatta. We've had a few Goldie callers tonight. Hello, Michael.
Yeah, the Queenslanders. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Queenslander. All right.
I ought to go straight away. It's Alexander Fleming.
Alexander Fleming. Well done. Yeah. Loz, I thought, would go. He's got the Alexander bit, but didn't get the Fleming bit. Yeah.
I heard that before. I was laughing. Everyone knows that from school, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Next question.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you forget these things from school. Yes. Alexander Fleming, the bacteriologist who.
Oh, Christian Brothers, it was belted into me.
It's, yeah, sure, I bet it was. Just for those who don't know, when Fleming went on holidays, a moldy fungus invaded one of the petri dishes in his lab, and then he noticed the problem, but also that the bacteria didn't grow around the intruder, and he managed to come up with penicillin as a result of all of that. So nice work, Fleming, and a holiday. Just goes to show how good a holiday can be.
Lucky you did.
I think there'd be a few folk with Sunday night blues tonight because it'd be back to work tomorrow for quite a few. All right, question 14.
Yes.
In 2006, NASA's Mars Global Surveyor spacecraft found evidence of what on Mars?
Water.
Water. Nice work, Michael at Coolangatta. Which scientist sought to feed billions by synthesizing ammonia for fertilizer, but developed into poison gas in World War II? Which scientist sought to feed billions by synthesizing ammonia for fertilizer, but instead developed poison gas in World War II?
Maybe the poison gas was mustard gas, but I don't know the...
Einstein?
It wasn't Einstein, really. No, it was maybe one of them German the guy that used to do all the scientists for the German army, maybe. I'm gonna have to say I don't know.
Oh, those Christian Brothers didn't belt you enough with this particular bit of info.
Talk about Nazis much.
No, they didn't, did they? No, we didn't get to know the German inventors. Michael at Coolangatta, it's been good to have you on the History Quiz tonight. You're on your way with that chain of or train of thought, but unfortunately not with the answer. So let's see if Cheryl in Melbourne knows this one. I reckon it's one of the tougher questions of tonight's quiz. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you?
I don't
know this one.
No.
I don't know because of the purple, because it turned out to be the purple colour of royalty.
Oh.
He actually, yeah, it was really interesting, and I heard it on a ABC podcast.
Oh, just recently, but, so you knew it. Oh, Cheryl, I'm sorry I didn't get to you in time.
Okay, but I don't know this answer.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm enjoying the show.
Oh, I'm glad, Cheryl. Thanks very much for listening to ABC Radio. This is Nightlife with Bern Young. I have been remiss in checking the text line for a little while. Heaps of people knew Alexander Fleming. Lynn the Queenslander, morning, Bern. Not quite morning for you yet, Lynn. You're still just the other side. You're still nighttime for you. Plenty of people knew that water was discovered on Mars as well. Hannah in Sydney, there you are. You are piping in. I don't know how you're doing up against Adrian at Bella Vista because I haven't kept track with everything. Anne has suggested an answer for this one. But no, you haven't got it right, Anne. Let's go to another Anne at Randwick. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Bern.
I thought I had you earlier, but I must have picked up the wrong line.
I don't know what happened. You just couldn't hear me.
No. Well, that's good. I'm glad I've got you now. Maybe this was your moment to come in.
Yeah, but I just want to remind you first what the Chaser Boys said.
What
when
are they?
John Howard said, be alert but not alarmed. The Chaser Boys said, be alarmed but not alert.
Well, you can be either for my history quiz, preferably alert, actually, considering the time of day / night that it is. Which scientist sought to feed billions by synthesizing ammonia for fertilizer, but instead developed poison gas in World War II? Now, we have had the clue of a German inventor, and that is a good clue, but that's as far as we got, Anne.
I'm going to have to pass it on to the next person.
Okay. We might be passing this on to a lot of people. I picked it as one of being one of the tougher questions in tonight's quiz. Anne at Randwick, it was short and sweet. Let's see if Joe at Mount Dandenong knows the answer. Hi, Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well.
Well, I do know the Haber process is the standard one for making ammonia. Industrially, so I go with Haber.
Yeah, well done. Fritz Haber, it was. Good. I'm relying on someone to have a bit of extra knowledge somewhere, and not too many people got that on the text line. Someone has, but without giving me their name or where you're listening. Always do that on the text line. 0467 922 702 for that text line. All right, question 16. Geologist Jim Bowler discovered what in southwestern New South Wales? Geologist Jim Bowler discovered what in southwestern New South Wales?
Southwestern New South Wales, that sounds like Broken Hill, silver, lead and zinc.
No, it's something else that I'm looking for, even though, you know, technically you might be kind of right, Joe, but that's absolutely not the answer. So I need something more specific. I might even have to give a year away just to help with that, but let's see how we go with it. Joe, thanks for playing, and thanks for getting us past Fritz Haber as well. And Nicole at Mildura knew it was Fritz Haber too. Cameron's listening in South Perth. I think they're still wrapping up the cricket on the analog. So are you listening on the app, Cameron?
No, just on the phone.
Oh, well, yeah, on the app on the phone. Good one.
Yeah.
All right. Geologist Jim Bowler discovered what in southwestern New South Wales? And I will say it was 1968, just so that we can get out of the kind of mining times.
68?
Yeah.
Gee, that's recent. What did he discover?
Yeah. I want to give away clues, but I always know that there's, you know.
I think it might be a meteor or
Yeah, like a crater or something like that.
Crater, yeah.
No, not a crater. But thank you for playing in Perth tonight. Cameron on the line, 1300 800 222. The phone lines have gone a little bit quiet. Perhaps people are doing the classic wait for the final few questions and then they suddenly want to play. Keith at Busselton in WA. Hello.
Why did you have to ask me this one?
Does it help if I tell you that it was discovered in a lake? I feel like that helps.
No. This was, what was his name?
Jim Bowler. So Jim Bowler discovered this in southwestern New South Wales, 1968.
Oh, yeah, and it was discovered in a lake, wasn't it?
Yeah, discovered in a lake, yeah.
Yeah, I can recall this.
Yeah.
It was a lake, the John Tom Bowler Lake. Marble. Bye-bye. Good night.
No, not marble. No, it wasn't. Thanks, Keith. These phone lines looking very sad at the moment. Kirsty and Launceston, hello.
Hello.
I can't tell you the name of the lake because if I told you the name of the lake, I'd be basically giving you the answer. But geologist Jim Bowler discovered what in southwestern New South Wales? 1968, a lake is involved.
Aboriginal remains?
I need a name of remains. Lake is good. Say it again.
Lake Mungo.
Well, that's the lake. So, do you know what the discovery is?
The Mungo remains.
I don't. Can I accept that? I'm mixed. Too busy listening to. It's got a name. I might have to move on, I think, Kirsty, because it's not the Mungo remains. You kind of know it. You know it if you know it, because it's got a very specific name. 1-300-800-222. A lot of people jumping in now because it's almost crunch time in the quiz, and that means you might just get the prize tonight. Graham's in Perth. Hi.
Hi, Bern.
Cricket was finished too, by the way, which is good.
Who won?
Perth beat Adelaide easily, I'm told. So,
I think I know the answer to this.
Yes. What's the answer? Geologist Jim Bowler discovered what in southwestern New South Wales?
Mungo Man.
Mungo Man and Mungo Lady as well. But I'll accept Mungo Man. It's coming in hard and fast on the text line as well. Chris at Griffith got it. Elizabeth had it as well. Harry in the Bay, you got it. Warren as well, hello to you. Elaine in Croydon, it's all coming together once you mentioned Lake and Lake Mungo. All right, question 17 we're up to, Graham. 17th century so-called laughing parties contributed to the discovery of what?
Oh, it's the laughing gas, but I'm just trying to remember the name of it. I can't remember the name of the gas. You'll have to take it to someone else.
Okay. All right. I'm not looking necessarily for a specific gas as such, by the way, but I'm looking for something. Does that help?
Can you repeat the question again? I didn't quite get the vein of the question.
So 17th century so-called laughing parties contributed to the discovery of what? So you don't have to be specific.
Ah, okay. Anesthetic.
Yes, thank you. That's what I needed. Or anesthesia. Good. I'm glad you came around to that, because I felt like you were going to go try to be really specific, and I didn't need a specific gas as such. Although it was the intoxicating effects of nitrous oxide in the late 1790s that were having these kind of laughing gas parties. But later published, it would become part of the potential for anesthesia. So well done. All right, question 18. We're very close to finishing tonight's quiz before the news, which is exciting. In 1930, Clyde, now I'm going to say Tombeau, I hope it is pronounced Tombeau, T-O-M-B-A-U-G-H, Tombeau, was working at Lowell Observatory and discovered what?
1930.
Yeah. Working at Clyde Lowell Tombeau. Observatory and discovered what?
The Aurora Borealis?
No. Graham, we say farewell, but thank you for playing tonight. 1-300-800-222. Pete, waiting patiently at Keysborough. Hi, Pete.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. Lots of people were saying nitrous oxide on the text line too. Adrian Bellavista's got the answer to this one. 1930, Clyde, and I'm saying Tombeau, I hope I've got that right, working at Lowell Observatory, discovered what?
I don't know. I think it's probably going to be like one of the outer planets or maybe a comet. I don't know which way to go. I'm going to say Pluto.
I'm glad you went with Pluto, because that's a good one. Yes, the search for the night planet began with Percival Lowell, who predicted its existence due to gravitational effects on Uranus and Neptune, but died before finding it. And Tombeau used a blink comparator. I don't even know what that is, but he used it to good effect. Question 19, Pete. I'm definitely going to be bad with this pronunciation, so I'm going to do my best with it, because it's not something I'm super familiar with, even though I've been to this country, and I'm looking for the name of a country. Göbekli Tepe Göbekli Tepe. Have I pronounced that right? Is an archaeological site discovered in 1963 in which country? Göbekli.
In Turkey.
In Turkey. Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm just wondering if I've actually...
I think that's pretty close.
Yeah. It's not too bad for a pronunciation, but I'm sure I'm supposed to have some sort of guttural thing over the, you know, over the gh or something like that. Anyway, guess where we're at, Pete, at Keysborough?
Is it ready?
Question 20. In 1885, a German engineer invented the first practice... gasoline power or fuel powered vehicle. What was this man's name? 1885. A German engineer invented the first practical fuel petrol powered vehicle. What was this man's name?
Ooh.
Or practice. Maybe not practical, practice.
Could you repeat the question again, please?
Yeah, in 1885, a German engineer invented the first practice gasoline-powered vehicle or petrol-powered vehicle. What was this man's name?
Practice gasoline-powered vehicle.
Susan at Hobart, she's straight onto it. So's Jim in Campbelltown. Adrian at Bella Vista's got it. I'll have to move quickly, I think, Pete.
Yeah,
give me a name, name. Got one?
I've drawn a blank.
Oh, it's tough when you're on the final question, but I have got to keep it moving.
I'm going to keep myself.
Yeah, I have a feeling you are going to, Pete, but I'll move along and keep it moving. Let's go to Linda, who's at Maitland. If I can find you, Linda, go in amongst my phone calls. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning or good evening, whichever one you're listening to at the moment.
I ran up for the Mungo man because somebody I went to school with, sister, I think, was working at that site, and they they missed out by, I forget, months or weeks.
Oh.
Yes, they were kicking themselves.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, how are you with your, you know, German engineers of 1885? I will accept a surname, so, you know.
Well, I hope you'll accept a surname. Diesel.
No, not Diesel. But a few people are coming in with Diesel on the text line. Right. Linda at Maitland, thanks for playing tonight. 1-300-800-222. Mind you, all the phone lines are gone at the moment. Steve-O in Adelaide Hills.
Yo.
Hello.
Yo.
No?
How are you? Yeah, it's Clyde Tombaugh with Pluto was the one. And, yeah, the blink comparator was a little device that flicked between the photographic slides. You could see the movement of Pluto on one of the slides.
Oh, nice work, Steve-O. Yeah. You know your stuff. Do you know who the 1885 German engineer was who invented the first practice petrol-powered, gasoline-powered vehicle? What was this man's name?
Well, I'm tossing up between three possibilities. I think it was either one of the Mercedes, Benz, or Daimler people.
So well, you've got your choices, haven't you?
Choice, yeah. It was one of those early, or it might have been, no, well, I think Ferdinand Porsche was later. I could be wrong. The mechanical engineering is a bit out of my jurisdiction being astronomy, but I do like Formula One and that. I'm going to take a punt on... Benz.
You've got to take a punt on one of them, haven't you?
Yeah.
And I'm very glad. I am very glad that that's the one you took the punt on. Carl Benz is the person that I was looking for. First car was the Benz Patent Motorwagen, a three-wheeled vehicle which is widely regarded as the world's first practical modern automobile. And yeah, I think, well, it was much, much later that it would become Mercedes-Benz. I think it had another owner somewhere in between. It might even have been Daimler.
Ended up collaborating with Mr.
Yes,
Mercedes.
That's right. So it was Daimler and then there was Mercedes, and but it started out as Benz. Yeah. Benz and C, I think. But anyway, Benz is all I needed from you. So well done to you. Steve-O in Adelaide Hills, you win the history quiz tonight.
And Tombaugh is the pronunciation that I usually say.
Tombaugh. You know, I did wonder if it would be bar or bow at that rate.
But I don't think it. I think it's tomato. But
yeah, maybe. Yeah,
there's actually an area on Pluto named Tombaugh Regio, which is, if you see an image of Pluto, it's got like a giant heart. It looks like a heart or maybe an open book, which I think is really apt. And it's an amazing, dynamic little planet. I still think it's a planet.
Oh, beautiful stuff. I love we're learning even more just from talking to you, Steve-O. All right, hang on the line. We'll get your details and we'll get a prize out to you. Thanks for listening to ABC Radio tonight.
Yes, thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.